Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my good friends and colleagues, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000.
Appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hi, guys. Great to be in the studio with you.
Hey, Stevie.
Glad to be here, guys.
You know, I had a horrible thing happen a couple of nights ago, and I don't know if I'm still over it. We have two bathrooms. One bathroom, you go to that one through one door of the bedroom, and then the other bathroom, you go through another door. And in the middle of the night...
Same bedroom?
One bedroom has two doors. And one door goes to a bathroom over here, out in the hall, and this one
got
goes
people
to
people with
the...
some plumbing problems, so you have to have bathrooms around all the time?
Yeah. So anyway, so it's the middle of the night, and I'm walking back into the bedroom, and I hit a person. I run into a person and scream like a baby, and the person that hits me is my wife, and she screams like a baby, and we're going, ah! We're there in the middle of the bedroom. We have scared each other.
You both came in from different bathrooms.
Right, okay. And not knowing that either was out of bed. And, it was quite a fright, I'll tell you. But anyway, I realize what a big baby I am. I've not run into a person in the middle of the night in all my years.
No, that's not, you're not a baby. That's lizard brain response.
Lizard brain?
Yeah, I mean, there's
what
just,
is that?
That's just...
My tongue stayed in my mouth.
No, because we respond to things from our... You know, our higher frontal cortex is where
sure.
we think about things,
right.
And it's a values decision. What's the right thing to do? Lizard brain is like when the guy with the scissors at the movie jumps out at you and scares you. I mean, it doesn't go into the processing kind of things. You weren't being a baby. You were just reacting.
Well, that flight or fright thing.
Right. It's a good thing you're not a black belt. That's
that.
Yeah. Take her down. Yeah. That and good thing she's not a black belt.
She's not a black belt.
Yeah, that's right. All right. If you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800.
Got any more stories?
229-3000.
I'm sorry. I interrupted your number. Say it again.
1-800-229-3000. Do you have any stories?
I have no stories.
No stories? John, you have any stories? We're kind of storyless right now.
I do have a story. I'm sorry.
Great.
It's a similar story. It's not my story, but I was at a conference and everybody's out, you know, eating, and somebody got to talking about like sleepwalking stories.
Yeah.
And this guy, who was a speaker type, should not be caught in this kind of situation. apparently, he got up in the middle of the night, and I don't know if he had taken a sleeping pill or something on time zones. Got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Yeah,
and he had no clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a hotel room, kind of confused, probably not thinking he's on the road or something. And instead of walking in the bathroom door, he walks out the door into the hallway. Locked himself out. It's like, middle of the night, and he's standing out there in the hallway.
Yeah.
And
see some identification, sir.
Yeah.
He could say, if somebody walks by, they're doing auditions for Adam. In there, and
speaking of Adam and the fig leaf, he said that those little menus that they hang on the doors, can actually kind of get you to a phone.
And if you had two of them, you could hold one behind you, and you'd be close to decent.
It's this kind of information that we hope helps people.
Yeah,
right.
We're,
in your life
we're trying to enhance your life.
What do you
here?
Do if you're naked in the hall in a hotel?
We got answers.
Get the menu.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. The website is newlife.com. If you would like information on anything we do, it's at newlife.com. Or you can dial 1-800-NEW-LIFE. People are there. They love helping you. It's also the place that you can help us. We are listener-supported. And if God's moving you, hope you'll call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
my clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Oh, we are back, and we're going to talk with Beth right here on in Detroit, Michigan. WLQV is the station. Hello, Beth. Welcome.
Hi there. Thank you.
Sure. How could we help today?
I'm calling with a question about my marriage.
Okay.
My husband was a professing Christian. We dated and grew together spiritually while we dated, desiring that we wanted to have a ministry together when we did get married. We're both at that time growing well together spiritually. That was 12 years ago. We've been married for 11 years. But over the lifetime of our marriage, he has just sunk back into the despair that he was in before he even became a Christian.
Mm-hmm. Has he renounced the faith, or he's just not living the Christian life?
He's not living the Christian life, and so he says he believes it in his head, but he believes now that God never chose him because he feels that he's fought for all these years to have a relationship with God, and he never felt this, had this feeling of having a relationship with God.
That God has not chosen him to be saved?
Right.
Does he feel like that he has a relationship with you? Does he feel close to you?
No. No, he doesn't really have a relationship with anyone.
Yeah, I would kind of change the conversation a little bit. Because he's focusing on God as the object, mm-hmm. and really we need to focus on him as the subject. Because it's not that, you know, he feels really close and connected to everybody in the world but God. And then we would have a, you know, God issue with him. But what he's saying is, really, I don't feel close to anyone, including God. So we need to look at, Joey, why, let's begin to try to figure out why you feel so cut off. And he's not going to solve that on his own. I would encourage him to understand that this is very understandable. It's very helpable. There's lots of resolution to this. And he just needs to get with somebody really good that understands, you know, detachment and the reasons why people feel cut off.
Yeah, he might be clinically depressed, Beth.
Yeah.
And so he just needs help.
I think the good news here is that it makes sense
right.
that you would have feelings about God like this if you're cut off from everybody else,
right.
including
and
your wife.
We're going to send you a copy of Changes That Heal, and I would encourage you to ask him to read the section in there on bonding, because it doesn't sound like he feels very bonded to anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-229-3000. I want to talk with Susan from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station there. Hi, Susan.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
That's good. It's great to talk to you. I have a problem, and I need some advice.
All right. What is it, Susan?
Okay. In our town, a lady opened a boutique shop.
Yeah.
And it was a consignment shop. Mm-hmm. So I took my clothes down there, and I purchased a few things. And she overcharged me, and when I went down to get... Well, before that, I helped her get her shop set up and gave her cards out and recommended her to everyone.
Okay.
So you had a personal relationship of some sort as well as a customer relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Or I thought that.
Well, what happened? And, what happened?
Well, when I confronted her about the monies, she, and it's not a large amount.
Why would you confront her? Why didn't you just ask her?
And what happened? She sold your stuff
and didn't give you the money?
And didn't give you the money?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I would have just chalked that up to maybe an administrative glitch and say, hey, Sally, that's not a confrontation. That's kind of more of a question.
Yeah, where's my dough?
Where's the money? Anyway.
You know, I've been meaning to ask you about the money.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we're just talking over you.
Just giving an example of, hey, I've been meaning to ask you about the sale of those shoes.
Yeah, we just kind of reacted to the confrontation piece like that.
Yeah.
That felt a little premature, but go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, I asked her to give me a list of the items I had taken down and what she was charging for them.
Mm-hmm.
And she got quite angry, and she said that she would be in her shop and if I wanted the money to come down. So when I came down, she wouldn't give it to me. She said, get out, and if you ever come back again, I'll call the police.
Okay.
That'd be a great call for her to make, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
so anyway.
Yeah, no,
go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, unless you were physically afraid of her, one answer would have been, I would love for us to call the police, and let's just call them and have them come talk about this.
Yeah.
That never occurred to me.
Yeah, because the police want to be fair, right?
Right. So, anyway, she was calling me. I asked her then to get my things together.
Okay, now you got to get to a question here really quick, okay?
Really quick? Okay, I asked her to get my things together, and I went down and picked them up because I didn't want to do business with her anymore.
Okay.
So I would call her on the phone and
okay, but tell me what happened. You got to get to the point of what happened and ask us a
question. 42 seconds left.
We think we got a lot of information.
Okay,
so ask us a question.
So anyway, she saved my messages and then went around to everyone that's in this little mall we have and played back the things I had said to her.
Okay.
Okay. And
so what's the question based on the fact she played those messages?
Yes. Now,
ask me a question, or we're going to have to just move on. Because
what am I to do? That's defamation of character. It's slander. What do I do to get? You know, she apparently isn't a Christian.
Okay.
So
now, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian?
Oh yes.
Bake her some brownies.
Okay.
Return good for evil. That's my solution.
I see.
You don't even have to give them to her. You can set them on the front doorstep and a little note of hope you enjoy these and just absolutely turn this whole thing into something positive versus you wanting to get back at her. She's not a Christian. She's just doing what she gets paid to do.
Uh-huh.
Be not a Christian.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, John?
Well, Susan, I mean, I was kind of listening with both sides of the how much injury has there been to you. So people in this mall, you know, you think we're going to think poorly of you because she played tapes. And so, you know, what's your recourse? And one of the things I've found in working with people is that protecting your reputation to a lot of people is one of the biggest energy drains in the universe.
Mm. Yeah.
Plus, it's usually one of the worst moves you can make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because anybody does that, I always kind of wonder what's hinky about it.
Yeah, it just never sells very
well. And besides that, Susan, you know, half the if I were in her store, in the mall, and she came to me saying, listen to Susan's tape, you know, I would think, what are you doing walking around like a crazy person playing tapes? So the sane people aren't going to buy it.
You were normal,
so there just hasn't been any damage done.
And what was on the tape anyway other than I need my money?
I need my money. So blow it off, Susan. Love her. Return good for evil. Like Steve said, that's what the Bible says. Bake her the brownies. And say, I'd like to work this out because I want to be friends with you. And, you know, you haven't been injured. Yeah, I mean, you've been annoyed, and she hurt your feelings, and I understand that. Yeah. And she owes you money.
And she owes you money. And this, you can do all the things that Steve is talking about here with the brownies and still go and recoup your money.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a reality. So go for that, but don't worry about the reputation piece.
You know, there's a great reframing example there where you said you've been annoyed, not injured. And I think that's a really good reframe of it because the sane people aren't going to think any less of you. But, man, what a great point. And whoever wins trying to defend their reputation and try to put it all on the other person.
You think about Jesus. You know, he was a man of sorrows, and he was reviled. And kind of the last thing he was worried about was, what are they think I'm okay?
Right.
Let's walk the path.
Yeah, let's talk to Ann from Greenville, South Carolina. She watches us on the NRB Network. Hello.
Hey, how are you all?
We're good. How can we help you today?
How's it look on television there, Ann?
It looks super.
Thank you.
Looks really good.
Like Steve's new look without his glasses and he's got his LASIK surgery and stuff?
I do. I like all of you. Very handsome, very gorgeous.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll get whoever you're mad at on this call, Ann, we're on your side.
You bet.
Thank you.
All right. What's the question or what's the situation for us?
Okay, brief background on the situation. I have 3 children. Oldest is 24, male, married, 23, still at home, just graduated from college in May, and the 18 is a high school senior. I am married.
Wait a minute, I'm sorry. Get the ages and marital status again?
24, male, married.
Married, out of the home.
Out of the home. 23, still at home.
Still at home.
College graduate, recent college grad.
Okay.
18, female, high school senior.
Okay.
And my husband and I are entering our 27th year of marriage. And I recently, when I say recently, maybe the last year and a half, have discovered some things that were really, I didn't realize he was extremely passive aggressive. I just thought he was very moody.
Were you in the military?
No, I wish I was.
Why'd you say that, John? The way she described it?
She wants to throw somebody in the brig.
No, because I don't hear a lot of women call who'll say, this one's male, this kid's male, this kid's female. And I just wondered if you had some kind of high structure background in your life.
I really don't.
All right, just talk that way.
I'm not high structure. I just wanted to get it all out as quickly as I could.
Okay, you're efficient.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you.
I got you.
Her parents taught her that, you know, some of those kids are boys and others are girls.
Right. Okay.
So. And I just hear you all saying, get to the point.
Well, let's do it.
Get to the point. Okay, so my husband is very passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And the 18-year-old, who is a high school senior, is very, very angry with me, has been angry with me almost since she came out of the womb. Extremely strong-willed, angry.
What does she do in her anger?
I don't know. When I brought her home from the hospital, man, she was like that.
Okay, but what is she doing? What is she doing to you in her anger?
Any confrontation at all is, if I say it's 9:15 and you're supposed to be at school at 9:30, that is just like telling her I'm going to shave her head or something.
So is all she does is just storm out of the room, or does she yell at you, call you names?
She'll storm out of the room. She'll say she hates me, and all of it is directed towards me. Her dad gets none of it because this is my whole question. He doesn't offer a lot of discipline. So I have, I guess, become the disciplinarian, and I've even heard her say to other people, or she said to me that when she goes to visit her friends, her dads are in charge. Their dads are in charge. But at our house, it's not that way.
Hmm.
Or she has said, I read on one of her texts where one of her friends said, my dad made me clean or do something. She said, my dad doesn't make me do anything.
And that was a good thing? She was glad about that?
Pardon?
She was glad about that?
I don't think she was glad. I just think she knows the difference, that there is a difference.
Okay.
Recently we found that she has been what they call sexting.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Sexting on her phone, and she was 17 at the time. My husband is really big on amendments and people's rights and all of that stuff, so his thing is, well, she's almost 18, and, you know, she's going to do what she wants to do. She'll just have to learn from her mistakes. And I'm saying, well, as godly people, we are here to protect her, not just to say, well, you know, we're going to let her do it, let her keep her phone, and she really had no consequences for it.
Uh-huh.
And the behavior has not really changed. She just turned 18 2 weeks ago, and I have actually kicked him under the table, like, could you please say something? Do you hear how she's talking to me? The older two kids have recognized it. They're like, Mom, what is wrong with Dad? Why is he not saying anything?
All right.
Why is he?
Okay.
Well, I need help.
You need help.
Oh, frame it as a specific question so we can be thinking about it.
My specific question is, what do my husband and I need to do in order to discipline our 18-year-old daughter?
Let me ask you a really quick question. If your husband was on the air here, would he say, I need help too? Or would he say, nope, there's no problem? What's his stance?
He would say that I am overbearing and there is not a problem.
Okay.
Well, you hang on, and we'll get to this right after this message. Our gift to you when you support the program is a new book by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, How We Love Our Kids. It's more about the parents than it is about the kids, the roles we play, the imprints that we put upon them. And you can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Ann in a 27-year marriage, and the husband is a bit passive, and the husband might say she's a bit overbearing, and the 18-year-old daughter, the sexting 18-year-old daughter, to her appears out of control. They don't agree on the disciplining of what should happen there. What do you think, guys? What are her options?
Can I add one thing that was very important that I did not add?
All right, one thing.
My husband's mode of operation in the marriage when he has been upset with me is to go for days, like 3-4, without speaking to me. And my 18-year-old daughter has adopted that same mode of operation.
Okay, Anne, you've been living with this over a quarter of a century. So what have you done to fix it? I mean, we got kind of a semi-crisis with the gal, but, I mean, this has been a long-term thing. What have you done to try to fix it, and why hasn't it worked?
What have I done to fix it with which one?
Passive-aggressive husband who calls you overbearing, and he's the Disney dad who just has fun and doesn't discipline his kids.
Basically, I've probably just complained a lot until recently. We are signed up to go to marriage counseling. He has absolutely refused to go over the years.
What would have made him go?
Probably my leaving the house.
Exactly. I mean,
we got to get to this place again.
Yeah. What I'm wondering is if I'm a mom and I'm sitting there are standing there in a conversation, and a kid is doing, you said she does disrespectful things and this, that, and the other, then I'm saying, you know what? I'm not eating at this table anymore. Mm-hmm. And being talked like that. If you guys want to talk like that to each other and scream at each other, fine. But don't expect me at dinner until you guys quit it.
Nobody gets screamed at but me.
Well,
that's
what, you're, that, hold on.
That's what he's saying.
That's the whole point.
You didn't hear
me. Listen here.
You're the only one. You're the only one that can keep you from getting screamed at.
Okay.
So you want him to help you, and I want him to help you too. But I would say to him, if you're going to allow this, and that's fine with you the way she's talking, it's not fine with me. So you guys can be here. I'm not eating here. I'm going out to dinner with a friend. And see, until you have some kind of consequences where everybody's disregard for you can run into something, then they're just going to continue to do this, and nothing would drive him to counseling. He's been getting away with this for how many years?
27 years. The only other piece here, Ann, is sometimes you don't need a counselor if you've really thoroughly both sat down and there's a lot of high ownership of how screwed up you're either, you know, we both are. Like if Ralph says, you know, I really am avoidant and I'm just afraid of like disappointing the kids and I do blame you because I make you do the hard stuff and you own that you're kind of an overbearing person, people can reconnect and redo that. But if you've had these conversations and he blows you off and you're feeling alienated and you're trying to do the whole discipline thing, then it's just time to say, until we go to the counseling session, me and our daughter are going to be, you know, at odds and I'm not putting up with this. And then we go to surgery and we get to work on the marriage together. So you hold on to the marriage session. And you say in the marriage session, I know I've got my issues. Here's what happened. We've got a sexting daughter and she disrespects. And you get somebody who has their 10,000 hours of training take you guys through the paces. That's what they're for.
Well, he is in total denial of any.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't Ann.
Yes.
He signed up for the session, right?
He has.
He's going to come kicking, okay, screaming, and mm-hmm, blaming. But you want him in the surgery where he's with the doc. So if you're looking for him to change and repent and say, gosh, I've been no good with you until the surgery, you know, you're wasting your breath. Have a good time. Don't let the girl, you know, do bad things to you and get to the session.
All right.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense to me.
Well, if it makes sense to Steve,
makes sense.
Okay.
All right. What would you like to send her that might be of help?
Boundaries in marriage.
Boundaries in marriage. All right.
Yep.
Coming your way. By the way, what is beyond boundaries? What's beyond boundaries? What's there? You just set a boundary. What's the next thing?
Well, that's John's next book.
Beyond Boundaries?
Mm-hmm. It's coming out in a few
months.
What's
that about?
About how God created us for connection, and we have to set up certain boundaries to protect ourselves when things aren't good. But once you've done that and you're changing and people are changing, mm-hmm, you can have the intimacy that was intended.
Yeah. My book's the opposite of that.
What is it?
Walking into Walls.
Is that the bathroom thing again? Or?
No, it's not the bathroom thing. It's... You know, sometimes people just keep...
Oh, repeating the same things that don't work.
And they might even claim it's a boundary, you know, to defend themselves. But anyway, and beyond boundaries, you're talking about community.
No, what I'm talking about is that all of us were designed to connect, but there's a difference between... When Henry and I first wrote Boundaries, there were two kinds of boundaries. There's the defining boundaries that let you know, mm-hmm, these are my values, what I feel, is who I am. But then there's the protective boundaries, too, which say, I have to distance now, I have to say no, I have to pull away because I've got to guard my heart. Well, you'll never lose your defining boundaries because that's how God made you.
Mm-hmm.
But sooner or later, if you're in some safe relationships, you can trust, you can open up, and you can let down the protection.
Mm-hmm.
How'd I get to there?
When's that coming out?
October.
Great. All right. Well, we will send her Boundaries in Marriage. And if you've never read the Boundaries book, some people would say you're not really a Christian. I don't know. It is just one of those books you want to read. And it's just a foundational book of truth, right and left on every page. And you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We are going to Washington, D.C. in May for the Through It All, Better Than Ever New Life Marriage Conference. And Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Kay and Dave's wife, Jan, they'll all be doing that. I'll be there. And it's going to be a great time. I hope that you will join us in May. We'll be back.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. Here we go. Let's talk with Nicole from Salisbury, Maryland. WOLC is the station. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How about you? What can we do for you? What's going on in your life?
Answer all three questions that Steve asked at one time.
Where do you need to be healed?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Thank you. I called you guys about a year and a half ago, and you told me to break up with my boyfriend.
Did you do it?
I did.
No, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We told you to break up with him?
Yeah, you did.
Really?
I visited him on a trip, and he let me borrow his phone, and on his phone was all these, he had a fancy phone, was all these, like, gay porn sites on his cell phone.
Gay porn sites.
Right.
Mm. Okay.
And we had the discussion, and I was worried about it, and, like, a little while later, I called you guys, and you were like, break up with him.
So you broke up with him.
I did.
Is that always said? I mean, that's not so helpful. Did we talk about you'd be attracted to him and what was it about the relationship and what did you not see coming? Did we go any deeper than that or did we just say have a nice day, break up with him?
No. It was a long-distance relationship. We had been friends and everything.
Okay. So what's the question now?
Well, after that happened, obviously I had some trust issues and whatnot. Even prior to dating him, I had trust issues. So I started going to counseling, and that worked out really well. And I want to start dating, but I need to know whether or not I'm ready because I don't want to be, like, overanalyzing the next guy.
How long did you date this guy?
We had been friends for 4, almost 5 years, and then we dated for a year.
And for a year.
You didn't sense any of that?
No,
when you were friends.
Not at all.
Hey, you know, as you approach dating again, a woman with trust issues, to have two long-distance relationships in a row, maybe that's something that you could not go into again. You know, being so distant, you have such little contact if you have the trust issues. But somebody that you're seeing face-to-face, and, you know, maybe that's just something to kind of shoot for as you re-enter dating. But you don't know if you're ready to start dating again. Is that right?
No, because I just don't want to be overly just you know, with a guy and just wondering all the time.
Yeah.
There was a guy that I was interested in, and we became Facebook friends and everything, but I stopped talking to him because I didn't like what was going on his Facebook page.
Okay, so, well, there you go. Good.
Look, let me give you a little kind of formula here that I think might help. The more integrated you are into his life, I find the greater degree of trustworthiness. Mm. What in other words, if you meet a guy and you guys are going out and you're still going out with a bunch of other people, which is very important. You don't get exclusive with somebody after a date, which a lot of people, you know, do. They get mm-hmm. smitten by somebody and sort of drop out of the field, then you're in trouble. But let's say that you're going out with this guy, and at some point, you know, you're deciding that, gosh, you like him. What should be happening is you're getting greater visibility into his life. Now, what that means is you're finding out what the 360-degree circle of his life looks like. Who are his close friends? Who are his long-term friends? What are his likes and dislikes and passions? What are his, how does he give? Where does he serve? Where does he grow? What have his failures been? You know, what are his aspirations? But mainly what I find is the people that he's connected to. It's what you're going to learn the most from. So if there's a small core group that's been in his guts and soul and heart and mind at deep levels for a while, and his long-term connections, there's a good reason to believe that there aren't a lot of flies underneath the rocks somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I really believe you can't get kidnapped. And here's what happens in relationships. It'll be sort of, you know, passionate and all that stuff in the beginning, and it's just the two of you sort of drop out of life and friends and circles of friends and all of that, and you really don't see what somebody's life looks like because you get caught up in this, just the two of you in a diet.
Get kidnapped. That's right. We wrote a book called Boundaries in Dating, Nicole, where we give you sort of a matrix to think about this, and it just all involves, and this, you, if you're sort of like, you know, feeling in, you know, in need of the guy, or you feel this loneliness, you've got to really to deal with this, because you must relate to him on all of the non-passionate, non-romantic, non-sexual arenas of life, like friends, parents, work, failure, all the real life stuff. Then you find out. But we'll send you that book.
Okay.
All right. I hope that's helpful to you, and thanks for breaking up with him, because I think that was the right thing to do, that other guy, a year and a half ago.
But she's right. I mean, there's a proverb that said in chapter 30 that says that the earth trembles under a slave who becomes a king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've been without for a long time, you do sort of have to question yourself, like, is this need going to overwhelm and, you know, mess up all my judgment?
Right.
You really have to have some good friends around and think about these things and have sort of a matrix for how to green light a guy or not.
That's right. All right.
Hey, you can tell a lot about a person by who they're connected to.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about another
thing. That's why people ask me, you know, the show, what the kind of answers why I'm like I am, because I'm with these guys and on the radio, and there's no mysteries here, I guess.
Hey, I got a question. I've got a theory.
That, here we go.
That
this could be profound.
If you put all of the singles in a little basket and you dated only those that tithe, I wonder how much you would be eliminating. So much. I mean, a guy that is single and tithing has obviously made. Now, they could be a religious fanatic and all of that.
But that's a great kind of character marker.
But that is a marker. That, I mean, when you say to somebody, do you ever give to anything? And they say, no, as soon as I get out of debt, I'm going to start giving.
I put a buck in the Santa Claus and Salvation Army.
Yeah, right. That guy's jingling that bell, and I gave.
Yeah, where do they serve?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I don't know if this is kind of ubiquitous in a certain age group, but I was having a conversation with somebody who I think is like 28 or 29, and it was a giving conversation.
Giving.
And they were talking about how, you know, it's so important to give to the poor and all of this. And I said, well, you know, how much do you give? What percentage of your income do you give? And she goes, I don't know, whatever my bracket is. I said, what bracket? She said, my taxes. That's how you give. You give through your taxes because, you know, a lot of that goes to the.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, what? And what this person was saying was that it was no question in their mind that paying taxes because there's, quote, social services and that's where all these.
That's charity.
That's charity.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, I don't know how ubiquitous that is, but.
I have heard people say that in the old days of the Bible, giving to the government was considered part of your tithe. And I just have not ever found anything to support that. I mean, you can say the Romans did anything you want to say, but where is it? Where's the proof of that? I haven't seen it. I just know this. When I'm walking with the Lord, I want to give. When I'm not walking with the Lord, I'm stingy. I mean, it's just a fruit of the spiritual life.
Steve, right. I like that pen. Would you give that to me? Thank you, buddy.
You got it, buddy. I would give it to you. I absolutely would.
I have one like this.
All right.
I like your watch, though.
You can have that, too. Just take it. Just take everything.
Steve's walking with the Lord today.
Steve's walking with the Lord today.
When now, I brought up tithe.
Better ask right now because maybe tomorrow.
I didn't know I was going to have to tithe my watch to Henry. But, hey, let's go to Daniel from Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hey there. Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah. How can we help?
Yes. I've been married for 8 years. Me and my wife, we're kind of having problems right now. She wants me to get a vasectomy in order to keep this marriage.
What? As a condition and, to stay married?
Yes.
She's going to leave if you don't get it?
Yes.
So it's a cut-or-run kind of deal you got going there. Boy, that's a why would
There's
she come to
that
point? There's
a story behind this.
What is the story?
Yeah, that's not out of the blue there, Daniel. What's going on?
Were you ever unfaithful to her?
No.
No.
You have kids?
Yes, we do.
How many?
We got 3.
So what brought her to a place to say, you either get a vasectomy or we're done?
Well, she said that she wants to, she don't want to have any more kids.
Obviously.
She wants me to get a vasectomy so she won't have any more kids.
Well, that's not
and
what leads somebody.
There's other alternatives for, you know, contraceptive, but she don't want to see it that way.
But
and
why would the attachments be so fragile? Is she hurt? Are you guys alienated? People have this conversation all over the fruited plain here, Daniel, but they don't put the big, you know, I'm going to leave on there. Why would she go so far to say that?
And the reason, pretty much the other reason why she said that is she wants to get her IUD out, and she don't, right now she said that she has pain.
Oh.
And she did go to the doctor, and she said that she has a cramp because she has that IUD.
Right. But does she have to say she's going to divorce you anytime she doesn't like something in y'all's marriage?
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Milan Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance along the way. We will see it. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Daniel, whose wife said either get the vasectomy or this marriage is over. Henry, you had a thought about this for Daniel.
Well, my question, Daniel, was when you said that she is in pain, what has your approach been towards her pain?
Well, I really don't know what to say about that because she said that it comes and goes. So I'm not too sure how, I'm not too sure how to think about that. Like,
so you don't believe her?
I don't know. I do believe her. But it's just that we don't know how to take care of it.
It's what?
It's really bugging me for her to say that. You know, she said that if you do get the vasectomy, then I won't have that pain anymore.
What?
But in my heart, it just feels like it's wrong to get that, done.
It's wrong to get a vasectomy?
That's just what I think. It just feels like I'm doing something wrong if I do get it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. There couldn't be anything worse, much worse, than an IUD.
Right.
You know, that's that actually causes a fertilized egg to not implant.
Right.
So it's an abortive device.
Oh, okay.
See, I mean, their little lives created, and then they can't implant in the wall, so they die. That's what an IUD does.
Right.
Now, there's several pieces to this puzzle, Daniel. I want to get back to you guys' relationship. Here's how you sounded to me, and you tell me if this is how you feel or not. She tells you you're in pain, that she's in pain, and you get suspicious, and so you're not compassionate or empathic, or you don't go,
yeah, it did
gosh,
sound
I don't.
That.
It just sounded like you're pretty cold to somebody who's hurting, and is that you?
Yes, I know I kind of am. Yes, I am.
Okay, what I would do is I would make that the primary problem.
Yeah, I'd start there.
And I would go to her and say, you know what, you've been talking about pain, and I've invalidated that or questioned it or said, I just want to apologize because the last thing that I would want to do is have you A, in pain, and B, especially have you in pain and feel like I don't care about it.
I mean, what were you, if you were married to 8 years with somebody and bore them three kids and you were in pain and they did that, do you think you might say, I don't know if I can stay in this? I mean, can you put yourself in her shoes at 8 years if you not feeling bad for anything that hurts her? Can you seek it from her end?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we started the call with this sort of gosh out of the blue, you know, she wants to leave, this is so wrong, and it's like, we've got a guy who's disconnected from somebody who's hurting for 8 years, so there's a solution there, man. Mm-hmm. We wrote a book called Rescue Your Love Life, and it talks about how to talk to each other about on a deeper level so you feel loved by each other.
Hmm. Henry, you had another question?
Yeah, we just have a second here because I think that's the primary thing that you need to work on. But I'm just curious in trying to open up a door for you. What's wrong with getting a vasectomy?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's the wrong thing to do. I just feel, But then at the same time,
What is wrong? You mean morally wrong, or it's uncomfortable, or you want to be able to have kids later? What's the wrong piece?
I don't want to have kids.
So
it just feels like it's morally wrong.
What moral
code
is it breaking?
Yeah.
Not too sure. I just feel like that, I just feel in my heart that it's like,
hey, Daniel, I need you to go beyond your heart into your brain. And I want you to take a research study here and talk to some good pastors and theologians and doctors and look at vasectomy. And sometimes our hearts can be wacky. And use your brain and find out some information, see what you think. Because, there's a lot of good about vasectomies.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, like, if this relationship or this marriage ever, you know, then I'll be.
Well, I think your wife picks up on that.
Well, there's a recipe for not staying together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of like having a prenup or something.
Right.
You got to be all in for this thing. If God got you married and you made some choices, you got to be all in for this thing, Daniel.
That's right.
I think she just kind of feels like she's got a guy who sort of like if things are good, you're in. But if they're not, you're sort of halfway out. And I want you to change that.
Yeah,
that kind of one foot in and one foot out does not give a, you know, good foundation for a marriage. And what I would encourage you to do is it sounds like the foot that you have out is the foot of serving her needs.
Yeah, that's right.
And I would try to go there. And what you might find on the other end of that you really like being both feet in, and that she really joins you in ways that you never thought possible.
You know, John, it's not really a prenup, it's a pre-div.
It is a pre-div.
Pre-div arrangement right before the divorce. I'm not going to give up my ability to have more kids. You know, I regret that some men never discover what it's like to be in an intimate, vulnerable, connected relationship with a woman. It's an amazing sense of freedom, and I don't know how to describe it, but it's just something that a lot of men never, ever get to experience because of fear or whatever. All right.
It's kind of one of the best gifts that God ever designed us to have.
Yeah.
Is that relationship. It's the closest thing to, you know, being part of Christ's body and
right.
His church and all that. It's the analogy he uses in Ephesians.
Boy, we really missed it as men. A lot of men missed it because of need for dominance or control or whatever. All right.
Well, go back to Genesis.
Yep.
You know, her desire will be for you and you will rule over her in that conflict. You know, until people take the Jesus route, which is that you're going to not rule over her, but you're going to die for her, then they're not going to find that intimacy.
Yeah. Well, we want you to find intimacy, and to that end, we have put together a marriage seminar May the 13th in Washington, D.C., and hope that you'll go there and that you and your spouse will go and discover some things that you never knew could build a relationship, discover some things that you didn't know were killing your relationship. Also, Every Man's Battle is every single month, and we're going to the Holy Land. I want to show you a clip of me over in the Holy Land when I was in the Garden of Gethsemane underneath these olive trees that Christ had walked near. But here is a little clip from the Garden of Gethsemane.
This has been an amazing day. We're the guests of the Ministry of Tourism here in Israel. We were on the Mount of Olives. We were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was amazing, all the people walking around the garden. And there were four people. I'm traveling with Larry and Joe Sonnenberg and Joe Franklin. There were four people that were allowed inside that garden where the olive trees, 2,000 years old, they were there when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We went through these markets that were amazing. We saw the tomb where Jesus was buried. We saw the hill where he was crucified. We saw where they prepared his body. We are so grateful to be here. Already, this has been one amazing trip. And I hope that you'll come and experience the same new life we're experiencing for our trip in June 2011.
The one she used. All right. Well, that's our trip to Israel. Hope you'll join us. It's going to be an exciting trip. Dr. John Townsend, me, Stephen Curtis Chapman and family are going to be there the whole trip. I think you're going to love it. Mylon Yurkovich is going to go, and Sherry Denham is there. It's just an all-star cast. Hope you'll join us there. We are out of time. Hope you'll support this ministry. It's the only way we're able to stay on the air. We figured out that this program that you watched today, costs $110 for one day of programming in your area on average. How about supporting one day of a program for New Life? If you want to, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program,
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.